Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with me. Wherever you are, what time it is, whatever day it is, it's always exciting to know that people are tuning in all over the world and enjoying our conversations with incredible people. And our incredible person for the evening is Susan Collins, who is an internationally known dowser, somebody I've met several times, and we're going to have a great time talking to her in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. So as some of you, if you've been listening to the show, know, I moved a couple of months ago and I'm in a new area and just settling in and learning the area. And, you know, every time you need something, you meet somebody new and you find a new place. So I got this wonderful gift of snow tires. How often does that happen? Somebody had snow tires the size for my car and gave them to me. So I needed to get them put on rims and find somebody to do the work. And I discovered that a place I had been driving by and not really noticing was what in my old neighborhood we would call a junkyard. It's a real salvage place with everything is covered with grease and smells like lubricating oil, and there are parts everywhere strewn in all directions. And in the middle of all this was an absolutely brilliant, beautiful young woman organizing all of it, keeping it all together, knew exactly where everything was, and if she didn't have it, where she could get it. I was like, this is so great. She's terrific, and it's fun to watch her do her thing, but it's so great that there's a real junkyard here. I miss those. I haven't seen one in a while. So then I needed some furniture for my house, and I discovered that not far down the road from them was a place that still says printing and graphics shop, where a really fascinating guy named Ed is selling used home furnishings. And you walk in the place and you can't figure out whether it's a surreal dream that you're having or you're in a movie, because there's all this random stuff piled up to your eyes or over your head, and there's just barely enough room to walk between the things. But he knows where everything is and has some incredible stuff there. And I got three wonderful dressers from him, bigger than I expected to be able to get, and they're now, through the help of my wonderful neighbor, they're in my bedroom, and I'll be able to unpack my clothing finally. But the really fascinating thing, and the reason I'm telling you this silly story about my life, is that I needed to find a tire place to mount the tires on the rims and then mount the rims on my car. Swap out the tires that are not winter tires and put the winter tires on. And I found a place that's a chain store, you know, that they exist all over the place. It's a big company. But I walked in and I noticed there's something really different about this place. First thing I noticed was a huge sign on the wall that looks like, you know, something that you would get at Pier 1 or any of the other department store kind of places that said, work hard, be nice. Which is not always the experience you have when you go to an automotive service place. People are frequently inattentive and surly. So I said, that's interesting. And then I noticed there was a big statue of Buddha on the service counter. So, okay, that's different. And on the wall was a meditation waterfall. So a big piece of slate that had water circulating over it to make water sounds so that while you were waiting for your car, you could have the soothing sounds of this waterfall. So I asked the gal behind the counter, and she said, oh, the owner, Lenny, is Buddhist. And, you know, if you think this Buddha's good, people are always bringing him Buddhas. He's got a whole room of Buddhas back there. The place was different. Every single person was attentive, cared about the communication, got the job done quickly, and was grateful that I was there, to the point that when you leave this place, you are given a flower. They give you a carnation in whatever color you have a choice from whatever they've got there. And they said, this is just our token of appreciation for the fact that you came here and you're our customer. That's a little oasis of caring and love and light that I really didn't expect in this small town. And they're all over the place. We forget that. Get really used to people being surly and not paying attention, and this is just a job. And then you find people who care about what they're doing and care about you getting what you need. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So just feeling very blessed this week and encouraging you to find the similar people that are all around you. It's really quite amazing. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to have some fun with Susan Collins. Thanks so much for being on the show, Susan.
It's my pleasure, David. It's nice to see you again.
Good to see you. And the first time I met you, we had tables at the vendor's place at the American Society of Dowsers convention. And it was my first time there. I didn't know that you were internationally known and a bigwig in the world of dowsing. We were just there and chatting.
Well, thank you for appealing to my ego.
Well,
we all do what we can. You describe in your metaphysical musing, you know, the one person in the car place and the flower and the Buddha. We all just do whatever we can where we are. And I've always been interested in outreach primarily, so that I enjoy going places and meeting people, mm-hmm. and meeting people on the air, online, but also meeting people face-to-face and sharing in that personal energy. Because as you were describing your story, I did have a very peaceful feeling with that. So it made me want to go to that town, and I'm happy to go to the towns I do go to do my dowsing, to share what I've learned, and to connect the different places in the planet that I go to.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to introduce people to the fact that you've been president of the Canadian Society of Dowsers, and you're speaking to us from Canada, and you've won awards, and, you know, you're well-known, and you speak
I'm a full-time professional dowser and personal management consultant, and I call myself that now because people out there in the world don't often understand what dowsing is. Mm-hmm. And when I offer a workshop or give a presentation, they at the end of it they always say, "I had no idea it was going to be this." So right. I'm trying to find language that can convey in regular words the kinds of things we do, and it's personal management consulting, all aspects of your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, all through it.
I think that's a wonderful way to present it and get more people introduced to it. Mm-hmm. So I always ask everybody for their story, for their walkabout. How did your life unfold such that you wound up where you are now doing what you're doing?
Well, that is a good question, and we all do have the story. For me, I was always clairsentient, so I could always feel beings around me, but there was no opportunity to discuss that. I was just afraid. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of the dark until I was 45, till I found dowsing and started to be able to interact with the interdimensional energy. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of everything. So there was that component, but the major initiation, and if we want to call it an initiation, when I was 29, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and within a couple of months, my hands were claws, basically. They didn't open or close, and I stayed that way. My knees didn't work. You know, there were days I couldn't walk. I stayed that way for over 23 years. Wow. I went through Western medicine. I was on diclofenac, methotrexate, prednisone, and chloroquine all at the same time. My immune system was shot,
right.
And I just I struggled. I had two little kids at the time. I tried the alternative medicine with homeopathy and acupuncture and all the things, you know, that as they came up in the 80s and 90s. You know, I tried all these things. But I my hands were in splints. I was on drugs. Nothing was helping until I went to the library. I found a book, Dosing in Your Health by Dr. Bailey, who is a past president of the British Society of Dosers, now deceased. And he talked about the earth energies, that if you're spending time on a place where the earth energies are not healthy for a human, then you will tend to be ill. So this was aha, you know, from the just from the book. I went out in my backyard and I cut a branch. I have a septic system in the back, or I used to, and I cut a branch and walked across the yard and I felt just, you know, the old Y rod that you see in the mm-hmm. pictures. I walked across the backyard and the branch moved in my hands. It was like, oh my goodness, this stuff works.
Right.
And then I just did experiments as described in the book that I was reading, that you know, if you sleep in a certain place, if you rest someplace, that could make you sick. So I determined that was the case. And the first place I went for help was the Canadian Society of Dosers. And I really do want to acknowledge the various societies, the Canadian Society, the Americans, the British societies. Those are the ones I'm most involved with, but also all over the world. You know, sometimes it feels, you know, as we sit here in our lonely rooms, that we're the only one experiencing these things. But what I love about getting out into the world is that there are so many of us, and we come together, you know, on an annual basis or monthly basis, and we share what we know, and we share our pain, and we share our weirdness together. And it's so great to have a community. So that was where I went really to learn my my basic dowsing, was to one of the big societies.
And so you obviously discovered that there were negative energies that were affecting you in the house. Did you just move away from the house, and did that make a big difference, did you shift the energy?
Well, I shifted the energy. You know, we
that's what
are.
I figured.
Yeah, I know. You set me up with that question, so thank you. In the olden days, which was probably only 20 years ago, and it's still, some people still may be saying this, oh, if you have non-beneficial energy in your house, you better move, or you better move your bed. But for so many of us living in cities and urban places, you can't just sell your house or move your bed, or, you know, if we're all in high rises, you can't do that. So there has to be a way. And over the last 20 years or so, we have all learned, and it's a collective unconscious. And I acknowledge so many teachers I've had the privilege to work with, but we have learned to transform these non-beneficial energies, whether they're earth energies, environmental, psychic, or other energies. Mm-hmm. The dosing for me now, it's detection. You detect what's there and how is it affecting me, and then you work towards transforming it. So I haven't been on any drugs. I'm now drug-free, symptom-free since about 2005. And so I'm the poster child for this stuff actually works. And it sometimes it can happen in an instant. You can have a miracle. Like in my world, there are miracles that you could have an instantaneous healing. Or for many people, it's a process. Like getting fit or losing weight or, you know, getting energetically intuitive, healing yourself energetically. It's a process. And once done, it doesn't stop. It's I do daily energy routines that keep me healthy.
Right, right. And that's one of the things about dowsing, is that anybody can do it. And that's the other thing I wanted to make sure we talked about, is give me the way that you explain dowsing to people.
Well, for me, dowsing is extremely simple. We can make it complicated. We can use fancy words. But to me, it is simply the ability to sense and receive electromagnetic energy. This is what we call the sixth sense, after taste and hearing and touch and all these things that we're familiar with. It's simply electromagnetic energy that we're picking up and sending. So we have medical treatments. We know we can do ECGs and brain scans and all these things. We know that we are electrical. And there's all kinds of interesting work being done on in the scientific community about using telepathy, actually. They wire themselves up and they're sending thought forms back and forth. So, you know, as we often say, that the Eastern traditions – has been working, and now Western traditions too, because we're global now, but there are some of us working within these traditional energy ways through meditation and practice and intention and dowsing and Reiki and all these things. And it is paralleling now research in quantum physics and other physics that the scientists are now developing subtle machines that can finally detect and receive the same kinds of things that we do. So that's very encouraging.
Right. And that's been, I think, the biggest issue in being able to talk to skeptics. People say, well, you can't prove it, you can't measure it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the issue is that the measuring devices didn't exist yet. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to figure out how to take those measurements. But, you know, all science begins with empirical, anecdotal evidence that points you in a direction for investigation. And there's 9,000 years of historical data about energy, how it works, how healing has been done, mm-hmm. You know, all the systems, and it's slightly different in each culture around the world. But there's an incredible body of information which basically has been pushed aside because those measurements couldn't be taken.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect segue into dowsing for feng shui and space clearing. So
exactly,
because that's something I've been doing, and I have I've written a book. I've spent my time writing books when I'm not out there speaking, and one of my books is in fact that title, Dowsing for Feng Shui and Space Clearing, Finding the Living Force,
which is a marvelous book.
Thank you.
Nice enough to get me a copy.
Yeah, I sent you a copy. And also for your listeners, there's a magic word that they can plug into the website and get the book for 25% off. So it's normally $20, and there's a little ad. But anyway, it's normally $20. You can get it for $15. And it's I wrote the book first at the behest of some of my feng shui associates. And I had the book vetted by the Canadian schools of feng shui and the CEO of the International Guild of Feng Shui Consultants. So a shout out to them. But some of my feng shui colleagues were saying, you know what, we're going into spaces, we're going into homes and businesses, and we're finding energy, but we don't know what it is. Right. So the feng shui, it's the ancient Chinese method, if you will, of working with the landscape. And in a modern tradition, we call it geomancy, the placement of buildings on the earth. And in the Chinese tradition, it's called feng shui. So there seemed to be a real crossover, like of blending the dowsing techniques and the feng shui techniques. So feng shui has lots of rules, lots of tradition. And, you know, in my research for the Chinese feng shui, I also found in the Middle East, there was the science of the sand, which was another sort of divination sort of device. And in Renaissance geomancy, there was also very complicated divination systems. But I differentiate between dowsing and divination. Divination to me is working with an oracle, where you know, toss the bones and you get an answer. Whereas for me, dowsing is working with the living force, the living energy of the place. So when the practitioner goes into the building, into the living room or the kitchen or the bedroom, and we have our dowsing tools, we are interacting directly with the energies that exist in that place. So we have the tradition that supports us from traditional geomancy, traditional feng shui. But it's in that moment, we are there with the energy and we interact with it and detect what's there. And for me, in my perception, I'm speaking with it. I have a conversation with the energy and we negotiate solutions quite often as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I act as if it's real, or as the saying goes, fake it till you make it. Although we're acting as if it's real, and if we act that way, we get the results. So this is, as you mentioned earlier, you know, science doesn't like that sort of thing. Act as if it's real until it becomes real. They don't like that so much. But the proof is in the results we get.
Yeah, that's what I always say. What do you do with the results?
Yeah.
When I started doing more depossession work with people, mm-hmm. I decided, being a geeky guy, I would read the literature.
Mm-hmm.
And the books I chose were all books that were written with somebody with either a PhD or an MD, because I figured it would be harder for skeptics to argue with the information.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out they were all clinical hypnotherapists.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered that if they treated past life experiences reported by a patient as if they were fantasies, they got no results.
Mm-hmm.
And if they treated personalities in dissociative disorder as if they were alter egos, they got very little result or no result.
Mm-hmm.
But if they treated them as if, they didn't have to believe it, if they treated mm-hmm. it as if the events were real and the personalities were real but outsiders taking over the person, they could eventually come up with very positive results for the people. And they struggled with it. They really didn't want it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But they discovered that as a modality of healing, it didn't make any difference how they sorted it out. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
And
I find in my practice that's what I do to a large extent as well. And in fact, much of my work now is no longer earth energy or environmental energy. It's almost primarily psychic energy, working with the subconscious and with past lives and inherited blocks and mental things. So I always show up on a call and I've got my boxes and my shovels and my, you know, my crystals and all these things I can do. But ultimately, I work with the person energetically, and it's as if you balance the person's subconscious and bring them to peace with themselves, then peace extends throughout their family and throughout their home and throughout the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so we are the seeds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there are so many different ways of helping people with this kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each of them will be slightly better for a particular kind of situation, but they all work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what skeptics really have a hard time with.
Well, my cousin, I had a big family reunion the other day, and I was explaining to my gathered cousins what I do, and one of them said, "Oh, well, what if people don't believe in you?" And I said, "Well, I don't care." And
right.
Really, that's part of my mission as well, is to just, this is normal. I stand up in front of my community and in front of business groups, and I say, this is a normal thing. It's not weird. It's a normal human ability that we all have. And if we teach this to the children that we have, then we'll have a much healthier state of being.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing to be doing in the community, because there's never a challenge to the idea that something's weird.
There's never a challenge?
Well, you're challenging the idea that something is weird. You're making it normal.
I make it normal. Part of my process, because in my business career, I was, before I got the arthritis, I did prototype internet systems way back in 1979. I started bringing internet into Canada, and I brought fax machines into our prairie provinces way back then too.
So you were there at the beginning of all of that.
I was there at the beginning, of all that. So I learned I had the Xerox sales training, and I learned how to put on like the blue suits and the little silk tie. So when I show up now on a call, I make sure I look like I could go to a boardroom as right. easily as I go anyplace else. So I make a point of looking as normal as possible.
And you do a good job of it.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to be going to a break in just a minute, so I want to make sure people know how to find you online. What's your website?
My website is www.dowser.ca. And if you want to get a copy of my feng shui book, the secret code is Farkas. So it's www.dowser.ca/farkas.html. or just send me an email. And go to my website, send me an email, and I'll get you the book.
Right. Fantastic. And just to reinforce, it's .ca, which is Canadian, yes, rather than .com, which is the American-based domain.
It's something else altogether, yeah.
Yeah.
Doser.ca.
So we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest today is Susan Collins, who is an internationally known dowser. And we will be back in just a minute. Don't go nowhere. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio.
The Forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head, like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
Oh, this coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back on the Farkas Files with my guest, Susan Collins, internationally known dowser and consultant. And we were just shifting gears, so where were we going, Susan?
Well, I always like to do something practical because, you know, there's all this talking that goes on, but, like, let's actually do something is my is my theme. I'd like to say before I douse, I always use a dousing protocol, which puts me in the right framework so that my answers are accurate and coming from truth and all that kind of thing. So I have already done my protocol. And since the topic here is supposed to be dousing for feng shui, the I Ching is a real famous oracle, if you will, 64 hexagrams from the Chinese that people toss coins or yarrow sticks and come up with answers to their questions. So if you like, I could do, I use the I Ching to detect barriers and to find solutions. So if the listeners now and future listeners, but it's always in the now, if listeners would like to think of something that's an issue in their lives, what's going on with you that you would like some information on or that you need some help resolving, we can consult the I Ching with dowsing to see which, on average, is going to be the barrier to your success, and then we'll look at a remedy. So sometimes, you know, I do my workshops. I do workshops for the future and answer questions in the future because it is always now, and the future comes back just as the past is here. Anyway, so for the listeners now, wherever you are, whenever it is, think of an issue, and David, you could do that too. Don't tell me what it is, though.
Okay.
And if you've got my book out, page 22, there's a diagram of the I Ching, very, very simplified. And so people will think of your intention, what do you want information on? And I'm going to ask, is it appropriate for me at this time to see if I can identify a barrier that will provide useful information or words or information that will be useful? I get a yes. So I've got 8 columns across one way and 8 rows down the other. This is a way to chunk information very quickly. I say, is it in the first row, second row, third row, fourth row, fifth row? So in the fifth row going down, there's a barrier. This is going to be useful information for folks. So is it in the first one, second one? Oh my goodness. Okay, so the hexagram that comes up as the barrier is a strong woman. So hopefully that's not referring to me as a barrier to anything. But it seems as if that for those people who are doing this, if there's something that is preventing you from achieving things, there could be a strong woman involved with that, so that you would want to negotiate or work around or appease or do something. So that's a very simple thing. Let's, keeping your minds on the same issue, let's look at a remedy. So the barrier was hexagram 37, strong woman. Are there a primary barrier? There's many, look for remedies now. There's always more than one, but we look for primary. Okay, so looking at, is it in the first row? It is. So this is a solution, a remedy. Is it the very first one? The very first one comes up. The first hexagram, creative firm. So that is a remedy. So for whatever issue people are thinking of, whatever problem, a remedy is going to be being creative and firm. And I would, I'm dosing that that's what the individual would need to do. So the strong woman comes up as a roadblock and creative firm comes up as a remedy.
So I just want to make sure people have an idea of what you're doing unseen there that I know you're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know whether you're using a pendulum or another tool, but
pendulum.
You're sitting there using a biofeedback tool, in this case, a pendulum,
exactly,
to ask yes or no questions.
Yep.
And clarify what's going on. So, you know, people think that getting this kind of information requires being psychic and hearing it, seeing it, doing something glitzy. Mm-hmm. But dowsers all over the world using whatever tools they're using are getting the same kinds of information without having those expanded senses that we consider to be psychic skills. And so I knew that you were going to be sitting there during the whole thing with a pendulum or a bobber.
Exactly. But,
exactly. Because so, I've watched you do it on stage and I've watched you do it for other things. I know that you do that all the time. But it's and in effect, it becomes a way of life and a way of having that conversation with divinity, with your life, with whatever it is. And when I first came to the dowsing community, to that first convention, what I realized was I was doing it already. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have that language.
Exactly. I think we're all doing this. I'm sure every single person listening to this broadcast is doing something like this or similar, whatever we call it, whether it's Reiki or gut hunches or whatever it is. We're working with our intuition, our expanded senses, and we're allowing information to come into us. Part of our problem, I know for me, I speak personally. I mean, I did everything wrong and had every problem, but I never felt worthy. You know, who am I to actually be having a conversation with the divine? You know, people, we're all taught to pray when we're children. You know, you pray to something, but you never really expect an answer back. So as an adult, with dowsing, we realize, oh, you know what? We can actually get answers back from the highest source that we access. And they can give us information and they can help us. But one thing I learned is that these beneficial beings, I call them. This is not mm-hmm. based in religion. And, you know, I teach in the Middle East. And God willing, I will teach there again when things are calm. But wherever I have taught, whatever words we use, people go, oh, yes, that's exactly what our tradition is.
Right.
So if we take it out of a religion and just put it into the spiritual experience. And it is the human birthright, really. It's we're born being able to do this, but nobody ever told us that we could, that we're allowed to, and that we are worthy of doing this.
Well, there's also both the scientific skepticism, it's not physical, so it couldn't possibly exist. But there's also a stigma of if you hear voices and are talking to things and you think that there are non-physical presences or intelligences, that you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be careful how you language these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back, 400 years when anybody who expressed anything like this was killed, basically.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And then there was the deal that was cut between science and the church.
Well, separation.
Yeah, the church basically said, you stay out of all the stuff that can be called spiritual, anything that's spiritual or religious is ours, and you can't talk about it, and you do the rest of it. Science is about the physical world and not about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they policed that rather intensely.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two things. One is there's that separation on this level of church and science, but also the memories of the very real fear that if you step across that line, you'll get killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's part of my mission to say, you know what? It's okay to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I taught a class at one of the conferences recently. I had maybe 12 people in the class, and this exact topic came up. We were looking at these past life memories, if you will, like whether it's real or not, whether it exists, it's as if it is. So I had people douse, okay, how many of you died violently during these older times when expressing these sorts of abilities wasn't permitted? And about half the class, yep, I died violently. Then I was inspired to say, okay, the rest of you, how many of you were the ones who killed them? And four or five people put up their hands that they had been the ones doing the killing. So we're all back here. We're all out here now. We're all up front now dealing with these past things. And I do think that, you know, we release the past, but more important, let's look at the future. Raymond Grace once said, if talking about the problem would solve it, it would be solved by now. And keep looking in the rearview mirror all the time really doesn't help. Yeah, like we want to learn from our mistakes, but let's create the life that suits us, which actually brings me to another one of my words that I coined to describe this. I've coined a word, geoprosperous. So those of you who are working in dowsing know the word geopathic, which means earth suffering. And I do get a lot of calls now from various practitioners of different things. And geopathic is a word that is getting to be fairly commonly known. It is non-beneficial earth energies. People look for that and they find it. And that's how I was taught. All my training was in finding these things and fighting it. But we know now we're evolving so quickly. We know that if we create, we can create the things we want around us. And there wasn't even a word for that. So I made up a word, geoprosperous, earth prosperity. And where we are, we can create these geoprosperous places right where we are.
Right.
The power places come to us.
Well, one of the guests I had on the last month or so was Peter Shampoo, who you know well.
Yes.
And we talked about, and I've been able to talk to him because we live 3 miles apart, so we can get together every once in a while. It's wonderful. And he's an international expert on these issues and on geomancy.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how the energy lines in the land, the ley lines, are not just something which came about as a natural phenomenon in the earth. They're also always dramatically affected by how humans both used the place and what their consciousness was.
Absolutely.
And so I do remote healing of places, so I map out all of this stuff, and it's amazing how the intersections of the ley lines will be at critical places. And the negative, you know, if I clear an abandoned psychiatric hospital or prison, mm-hmm. it's always geopathic stress all over the place. And if I mm-hmm. look at a church, it's typically got a profoundly positive vortex there. So clearly it's intention and how humans use the space and what we brought to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happened historically, then we should be able to do it now.
Mm-hmm. The healing of the land and the
place. The first mitigating, just making it not have its damaging effect, but then changing the intention and having that conversation with what exists
mm-hmm.
and shifting it.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree that if we can, and people have said this, I'm not the only one, but if we can get a critical mass of people creating the positive energy and positive thought forms and staying in that, then there can be shifts. It's
right.
Very difficult with the news. People are in fear all the time, and it's the news yeah. triggers, various things go on, and people I meet are afraid. People are afraid and they don't feel worthy. So it's all of us need to just help people be worthy.
Right.
Say, you can do this and you should do this. It's your birthright. And all it is just helping anybody. And that's going to make everything better.
Right. It's most people don't have any sense of context and that all these fear messages are intentional.
Mm-hmm.
People are easiest to control when they're fearful,
mm-hmm.
and the more out of control you can make it feel, the more helpless you can make them feel, the easier it is to control them.
Yeah.
And so the faster you can throw things at people, the more you can make it complicated and hard to understand, but make it sound very, 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 very dangerous, and we can't
mm-hmm.
do anything about it. Anytime I see that happening in the news, my question is, what are they up to?
Well, obviously, up to no good.
You know, either something is being hidden by all of this, or there's some manipulation, some direction they want to take things that will be easier if people are fearful and distracted.
Well, exactly. People are easier to control.
Right. And there's been some interesting conversations online about all the latest things to be afraid of. And my thing is, you know, this is a gullibility test.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where dowsing has such an important role, is that it's very easy to learn. Anybody can do it. And you can find your own truth. You can find your way through these murky waters.
Right.
And make your own connection with the divine and heal yourself. You don't have to. You know, my practices is a bit funny because people don't come to me over and over and over for the most part. You know, we go out and we teach people how to do this for themselves. So I'm kind of putting myself out of a job every time I go anywhere.
Which is the purpose of all good teachers.
It is. And that's why I've written the books and my website again, www.dowser.ca. I have tried to write every secret that I know. So if I know anything, I put it down in a simple form so you can figure it out and do it yourself. And that's part of why I travel. I want people to know that they can do it and it's easy to do.
Do you have a basic dowsing book as well? Because I know there are some materials online for people that just want to learn basic dowsing. But do you have some materials?
Yes, I do. What my I think was the first book I wrote, and it's I call it the classic. It's using a protocol to get results, and it's if you've never doused before or if you're not confident, tells you how to use the tools, and it explains the dowsing protocol, which I use, having distilled from the many teachers that I've had, that keeps you safe and accurate. And I know this works because I don't take any drugs. I'm symptom-free. I'm healthy. Yeah. I'm good. I'm the poster child. And so that's a little bit.
Well, and I can tell people that I've met you many, many times, and until I read your story, I had no idea you had gone through that very long illness.
Yeah, you know, what's to tell, really? It's we all suffer. We all have something. The difference with me is that I was 29 when it started. So now my friends, I'm 61 now. My friends now, they're all having these, you know, these issues. Oh, you know, I feel a little arthritic. I'm going, yeah.
Yeah, you have no idea.
I was geriatric when I was 29. So right. A lot of people don't get on this path until they're much older. So, but because I started at 29 and I had all my business training, it was like the universe gave me all these skills for writing and speaking. I was doing international speaking gigs in my job before I started doing it, you know, for the dowsing side. So I was groomed to right. get out there and be normal and present this and be powerful with it.
Isn't it interesting how we get that? I was just, I just wrote about part of my personal path, mm-hmm. and it started out with having a real need to know how to help people when they were injured,
mm-hmm.
and it started when I was 9 and led through a whole path of becoming an EMT and being on rescue squads and all kinds of things before I became conscious of the parallel path of esoteric healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned an incredible amount about the body, about what can go wrong, about how to be on call, even if I don't feel like it. You know, a whole bunch of other things so that when I learned the other side of it, I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, decades later.
Decades later. It takes a lifetime.
Right.
And, you know, referring back to those old bad centuries where they just killed people in their when they were very young. You know, here we are at our advanced ages, and our wisdom doesn't die with us, you know, where we get to live out, be old, learn more things, share more things, get more confident. So it's fabulous with the internet and the ability to communicate and to touch people profoundly. I am extremely optimistic about our future and our ability to heal ourselves, our communities, our planet, and beyond. One of the things I always ask people in a talk, and let's get people dosing this one if they can, but I always ask people, who has the bodhisattva energy? And if you're a doser already, you know how to do that. You may not know the word, but here it is again, douse to see. Do I have bodhisattva energy running in me at this time? Mm-hmm. And if you get a yes on that, the bodhisattva is a Buddhist vow to remain incarnated until all sentient beings are enlightened, which is for the end of time. So for those of us who have that energy running, it behooves us to reach as many people as we can and get everybody trained up, because it's a big thing to pull.
Right.
We're not just talking and humans.
This transition period, this change of shift of energy on the planet, the chaotic period we're going through was predicted. You can't have a major shift in consciousness and in the way the world works without having a period of chaos before it.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of chaos that we're experiencing is an indication of how big the transformation is going to be,
mm-hmm.
which there's an old saying, which is from a real story. Mm-hmm. When you're up to your ass in alligators, it's hard to remember you came to drain the swamp.
Right. Well, one bit of advice I have for people on their own healing journey is that ask for change at the appropriate rate. So right. Sometimes people they get into a healing crisis, you know, crying or tears or headaches. I don't take any of that. So ask for change, ask for healing at the appropriate rate so that you can integrate the new information and the new healing so that you're comfortable. We want to be comfortable all the time. We don't want to be afraid.
Well, I encourage people to go to your website.
Thank you.
Which again is dowser.ca.
Yes.
And look at your materials and get your books because you have such a wonderful way of expressing this simply and introducing people to it. And it's such an important tool to have right now, and it's so simple to learn.
It's so simple.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons I'm trying to get as many dowsers with as many different specialties on the show as I can.
Good.
To give people that sense of lots of people have used this for a very long time. It's easy to learn.
It's normal.
Right.
It's normal.
It's not, you don't have to be special in to figure it out and all the rest of it.
It's easy to do this. It's
right.
normal.
And,
there you go. Heal yourself.
Right. And, the other thing is I'm always looking for people who are helping us get a healer in every house. Mm-hmm. A healer in every household. And dowsing is one of the ways to do that.
Absolutely.
So,
and what you're doing is fantastic, too, bringing people out and exposing the various types of knowledge that you do every week. So thank you for your contributions.
My pleasure. I enjoy this incredibly, and it's very humbling, the number of people all over the world that tune into the show at their convenience, wherever they are, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
It's thousands of people a month, and it always blows my mind when I hear the numbers.
Well, we are one. We are one. That's where we're all going.
Absolutely. So what's your parting thought for people before we sign off tonight?
Well, just do it, you know, to use the old Nike expression that, you know, do it now. There's lots of online resources. There's lots of societies. It's easy to learn. You are worthy. You can do it. There's, you know, find a community. It's all good. So just give it a shot.
Yeah, and people will be surprised if you, poke around a little bit wherever you live. There is always somebody who uses dowsing, and it may be the classic water dowser. Any area where people are drilling wells, there are the 1, 2, 3 dowsers who, you know, nobody would ever know that's who they are. They just look like farmers.
There's not many water well dowsers, actually. I do that professionally as well. I put on my hard hat and go out and do wells. There's very few of us. But anyway, you know, they're in the stores. They're everywhere. People are embarrassed to say it. Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, just ask around, and you'll be amazed the people that you find and the wealth of support and information that's out there. So, Susan Collins, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been great fun.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David.
And I hope we can do this again. My guest tonight has been Susan Collins, who is an internationally known dowser and lecturer and consultant. And her website is dowser.ca for Canada. So, if by any chance you've become curious about my work, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of whatever's going on with a person, a place, a situation, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you and, you know, whether it's something that you would like to take advantage of. If you want more information about the show, it's cleverly hiding at thefarkasfiles.com. And if you want to point people to this particular recording, it will be posted just in just about half an hour, but all the previous years and years of shows are there. You can also listen to us on a number of the streaming media sources like iHeartRadio and Stitcher and a number of others. It's easy to find. Just search for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files, and there are lots of easy ways to listen to it. I was just told that our show is in the 9 o'clock slot on the stream under Power Radio every night. So Thursday is a live show, but there are reruns all week. So, which I was very excited to hear. So, I hope you have a wonderful week and take this idea of communicating with the non-physical with you as you go into your week. And we will see you again next week. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.